Hello and welcome to the NRL podcast. Jamie Soward in again, as you've been here all year.
Yeah.
An exciting week. I can't believe it's all going to come to an end though after this.
Yeah, I know. Last podcast of the year. A couple of special guests with us today, Zach, Cameron King and Craig Wing, 2002 grand final winner. Sexiest man to ever play rugby league. Best interchange player.
Hang on, were you calling Cam or Craig?
Oh, either or.
Mixed up there.
But, yeah, look, happy enough to have these two guys on. Plenty of experience to talk about, but let's get stuck into it. Let's start with the Dally M's.
Well, yeah, we'll welcome Wingy again and welcome Cam.
Thanks, mate.
Dally M's last night, Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, the man of the moment, but the moment of the night, the haka at the end, it was incredible.
Oh, goosebumps. I think last night, seeing that vision was something that you'll never forget. I mean, if you were there, awesome, but for people that watched at home, Tuivasa-Sheck, for me, clear-cut winner. They dominated the early part of the season, the Warriors. The middle part, they still played well enough. And then the back end, he was their best player the last 5 or 6 weeks. And sometimes we can forget what players did at the start of the year to win Dally M's. But for me, boys, clear-cut winner.
Yeah, I think, he's taken the captaincy in leaps and bounds. He's a real leader of that team now, leader of men. And it showed, to start the year so well and to finish, making the finals for the first time in a few years.
Yeah, I was backing Tuivasa-Sheck, just given the amount of work that he does and his ability to create something out of nothing. He doesn't need a good forward pack to be able to excel. He doesn't need other players to be able to excel. So he's a standout. He was a standout for me. The thing that I actually noticed last night was when he was giving his speech, thanking his teammates and his family, I thought he'd get a bit teary then, but he held his composure really well. But when the haka was done in front of him, I saw a little bit of a tear in his eye, and I think that just speaks volumes for how much that means for those Kiwi guys.
I feel sometimes when the players from the Warriors, they probably don't get the recognition they deserve because they are out of sight, out of mind a little bit. And his speech, I thought that was the moment of the night.
Yeah, well, their expectation every year is for the Warriors to make the eight.
Yeah.
They do that this year under the guidance of Tuivasa-Sheck.
Yep.
So it's a big moment for him, but every year they're expected to win. The whole country gets behind them, the pressure that comes with that. So I think this year, as a building block for what they've had for Tuivasa-Sheck, probably the best year of his career, if they can build off that next year with their culture, as Wingy spoke about, they can definitely be a force in the competition next year. The Blake Green, what he's done.
Yeah.
I think people underestimate what he's done to Rogers' game as well, because he can just inject himself into the front line, back, brings the ball back 250 metres a game.
Yep.
But defensively this year, he's been the best fullback.
Yeah.
And he's overtaken Billy Slater as the best defensive fullback this year.
Well, it was a race between fullbacks at the end. I was going to say that it was a great moment, holding the trophy almost like, he was so excited. And then the haka, I mean, Isaac Luke, for someone that, when you interview him and he's, shy and whatnot, the passion, I was there in the room, lucky to be there, and they got a standing ovation. Mm. It was literally, as you said, spine-tingling stuff.
Yeah, it's such a great sign of respect as well. So, for Roger, after tear up, see how much it means to him.
And it was the only unscripted part of the night. Everything was, goes to, times out perfectly. And then for that to be the cap at all, that's what everyone was talking about after. Yeah. He edged out Kalyn Ponga, who, if he wasn't injured for a few weeks in, so early in his career, would have been the Dally M Player of the Year.
Yeah, amazing. He had an awesome season. Newcastle have got the buy of the year for the next 10 years. I mean, whatever they pay him, they could pay him more.
Didn't you call him buy of the century earlier on this year?
No, family? Michael Chemist called that.
Disregard that straight away then.
I said that Jonathan Thurston would go down as the buy of the century for the Cowboys. But, an amazing season for Kale, and he's grown into a real leadership role. I love how mature he is already, but he's still himself. He doesn't, he gives us what we want to see in a player, but, he'll win a Dally M, surely. Mm.
So, as a half, do you think he has to change his game much if he's going to play in six next year, or he sort of does the same thing?
He's a six. Yeah. He's a six. I don't know too many guys that could make that transition so early on in their career, but he handles the front line, he can defend. It's just going to be that week after week. Yeah. I mean, it's okay to do it for a couple of games, but as Wing can tell you, making transition from one spot. Well, you went into out, didn't you?
I went both ways.
Both ways.
All over the place.
Rooster's days were... Rooster's days sounded fun. Three grand finals in a row.
He's just got so much natural skill and ability. He's a well-balanced player. He picks things up so easily. Hats off to him, before he stopped playing, he was at the leaderboard there. He was leading the pack. So that's a pretty big achievement for someone as young as him as well. I think a special mention also should go to Mitchell Pearce.
Yeah, incredible.
I saw him at the back end there, given the amount of time that he has missed on the field this year due to his pec injury. For him to be showing at the back end really goes to show how much influence he has over that Newcastle team.
He had a fantastic season, Mitchell Pearce.
Yep.
The question mark over Newcastle next year, can they recruit a fullback to fit those two? Because if Kalen goes into the front line, I would love to have seen Meany at the back for that spine to grow and they get a hooker. They still need a first-class hooker that's going to be on the field all the time, that can be smart enough to give the ball away, but also know when to just hold it back a little bit. And I think if they had got Isaac Luke, that would have been a huge pickup. They miss out on him now, so they're still in the market for a hooker, Newcastle.
Yeah. Mason Leno, where's he going to play?
Weird signing. If I was Mason Leno, I would have gone to one of the clubs. I would be ringing Ricky Stewart and saying, "Yeah, just give me a crack." Because the halfback jumper down there is revolving door. They haven't had a solid, good half for a long, long
time. Ricky.
Hey, you're right. And we spoke about it at the start of the year. They've got three halves, and that means you don't have one good half. So I would have been attacking a team that didn't have a first-string halfback. Right, not getting in over Pearce and Ponga.
As we mentioned there, the likes of Mitchell Pearce so high, which is a great achievement. To me personally, I thought Damien Cook was the best player of the year. So was he cancelled out? Because when South Sydney play well, you've got the likes of Sam Burgess taking votes, Cody Walker taking votes, Adam Reynolds, Greg Inglis.
The big teams have bigger names. So when you spoke about Newcastle, and no disrespect to the other Newcastle players, when Newcastle play well, Pearce's prominent and probably gets more of a look in than some of the other guys that do the work. So that tends to happen. But Damien Cook's last month, I think, cost him. The competition started to work him out a little bit, making him run sideways. And you saw in that semi-final against the Roosters, he started going sideways and having to change his game too much.
Yeah. And he's partially a victim of either the forwards not going forward. So if you shut down the Bunnies forward pack, there's less opportunity for him. In addition to him, like Sowie said, the opposition working him out. Look, I think Roger Tuivasa-Sheck, he's a well-deserved winner, and I think it's good for the game that he won.
Do you think the competition worked Cookie out towards the end?
I think, I know versus South, if you can do a job on the Burgess brothers, you nullify what Cookie can do. Obviously, if he gets that one quick play of the ball, he's going to produce a highlight and he's going to make a line break. So, if you can limit that to once a half instead of three times, you go a long way to shutting him down.
All right, a couple of... I'll run through the team of the year. A couple of interesting ones here. So, Blake Ferguson, fair to say he was...
He was my winger of the year.
Yeah, yep. In terms of form, week in, week out, does a lot of the dirty stuff. Centre of the year.
Unbelievable.
Joey Leilua.
Before we do say our piece, it's no disrespect to BJ Leilua.
No.
You win the award, you get given it. It's a tremendous honour.
Mm. Yeah,
but I mean, how does Latrell Mitchell, who's become the best centre in the world, not get centre of the year?
Yeah, well, look, Joey Leilua was one of my best mates. I grew up with him, but I think Latrell had a breakout year. What he's done for the Roosters and for New South Wales, I think he deserved it.
Well, I can't remember a centre boys that when he's out, their team just doesn't look the same.
Mm.
Like, when he didn't play the other week, teams were going, well, they don't have Latrell. Mm. He's out in the centres.
Yeah, that happens with halves and fullbacks.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, the last guy to do it was Greg Inglis.
Yeah, and I haven't seen someone on the field in the centre position with much presence and as intimidation so young as Greg Inglis, and we all know what he's gone on to do.
Well, the
guy before that was Mal Meninga. So, that's a J-up.
Okay, all right. Let's get to the award that everyone would have picked. Cam Munster, 5'8", I think that was a given. Luke Brooks.
Munster Mash.
A great year, a halfback.
King, you spoke about it. You said, did Luke Brooks have a good year? And I think the start of Luke Brooks' year probably just picked him out ahead. If Mitchell Pearce has a full year, he's probably premier halfback. Yeah. But Luke Brooks' start was electrifying.
Mm. Jonathan Thurston was great, but in the losing side, so that would have counted against him.
Jonathan Thurston, Ash Taylor.
Cooper Cronk. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get side to a grand final, you think you'd be in the show.
Well, Thurston and Ash Taylor had most try assists and line breaks.
Yeah. Jason Taumalolo, I'm not going to say anything about that because I don't want to Sam Burgess? Tackle him down there.
Trying to make him angry.
Yeah,
Sam Burgess. Yeah. If you're going to have lock as a middle player, because Taumalolo is not a lock, he's a middle player. Mm. That award should just be
a middle forward,
not front rower, not lock. It should just be a middle. Get rid of the interchange player of the year. That's, I don't know what they do to judge that. But just have a middle player of the year, and that for me is Sam Burgess.
Okay, another interesting one, and again, nothing against Josh Jackson, who is one of the toughest back rowers and players out there. Back row of the year, was he the best?
No.
Oh, for me, I had both the Dragons back rowers. I think Frizz and Tarek have had great years.
Yeah.
Both been massive for New South Wales as well, winning that series, and for me, they were both dominant all year.
Yeah, I was kind of leaning towards Viliami Kikau.
Fair shout.
He's had a great year, and he's just quite a breakout year as well. And he's just so hard to handle. Mm-hmm. Give him the ball, and he pretty much goes through most times or gets an offload.
It was a weird one, wasn't it? Because if you look at those three guys that these boys have mentioned, Boyd Cordner, Origin series,
Felice Kaufusi.
There's probably five or six. I think
it's a good debate, though. I mean, all these guys have had.
Okay,
well, it's a good debate.
We only brought up good
back rowers.
And then we didn't say any other centres. There's been no other centres that have dominated like Latrell. The next is probably BJ.
Yep.
So, but in terms of back rowers, and Josh Jackson's tried hard, but and I'm not dissing him. I'm happy that he won an award. I just think there was other guys.
Yep. Andrew Fifita, prop of the year. I won't argue with
Stand
that. Damien Cook, of course, the hooker of the year. Jazz Tavanga, interchange player of the year.
I mean. Explain someone.
How did they judge that?
Oh, I don't know.
Where did that come?
Is that the
out?
First year they've done that?
No. Regan Campbell-Gillard got it last year. He started seven games and came off the bench six games, or started 15 games and came off the bench seven games.
Yeah.
Someone from the NRL, all right, ring me on the podcast, tweet me at me. What do you have to do to get interchange player of the year? I mean, I think if you look through the nominees, I was up for it.
Probably. Is it versatility? Because I know Jazz plays hooker, he plays in the middle. I'm not too sure how to judge it.
Tell us and we'll both know.
Aaron Woods, to me, was a great interchange player. James Seguiaro, a great interchange. That's just at one club.
Yeah.
So, and again, he had a good year, but I don't know how they pick it.
Well, Victor Radley started coming off the bench.
Yeah. All right, we could be here all day. Anthony Seibold, Coach of the Year. Jermaine Azarko, Rookie of the Year, Top Point Scorer of the Year in a great debut year. Damien Cook, Proven Summons medalist.
Yeah.
Did you think Ponga was going to take that out? I think you said that.
Fans Award, no. Cookie was pretty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know yourself, being a 2009 winner and 5/8 of the year.
I didn't want to bring it up, Zach. But
of course I was. And now, this was a great moment as well. Steve Morris.
Slippery,
the 1979 award that he never got when it was first brought up through the Daily Mirror. A great moment. The NRL have nailed, I think, this year, the Hall of Fame, going back and acknowledging the five previous guys, pre-war. And to see Steve Morris there last night, it'd mean everything to him.
Yeah, super from the NRL to get that all right this year, in a year that's been dominated by stuff that's happened on field. It's nice to see the NRL get that right.
And David Fusatua, this was another great moment. I know Matt Russell from Fox Sports, he has been campaigning for years and years and years, saying the one thing we try and do is score tries in this game. Every other game, there's AFL, whatever, they've got an award for who kicks the most goals or whatever. And we've never had until this year a medal for the top try scorer. It just seemed like logical. Mm. And I think it was a great surprise that the Ken Irvine medal going forward will go to the top try scorer. Is that just
awesome?
Yeah, I'm surprised it hasn't come in earlier. It's a great award, and it's great recognition for someone like that who's a great finisher to score 22 or 23 tries. I think he scored it. They all look the same. It gets him in by that much.
And I loved it last night on the coverage when they said, "Why didn't you celebrate?" He goes, "I didn't know whether I'd be getting the ball down or stepping in a touch. I just never knew." That just shows because his finishes are so good, wingy.
Yeah, exactly. It also adds a little bit of extra to the chase for the top try scorer at the end of the year. I think it's a great idea. A
bit of prestige around it. All right, a couple of other things. That was a great night at the Dally M's. Ben Barber back in the NRL. Will he make massive changes? What can we expect to see from him? Can we expect to see the premiership winning Ben Barber again from 2016 and even 2012? I know it was a long time ago.
Oh, I think he'll be a massive inclusion for the Cowboys. You think next year they go forward with Clifford or Tamari Martin and then Morgan in at the seven. So a huge season, though, because the expectation coming on that squad to bounce back in a big way. I mean, they're expected to make a grand final next year with the forward pack that they've got. They need some up They need some younger outside backs, but I just want Ben to come back and play footy. I mean, just seeing him back in the competition, I hated tuning into the Super League show and watching him dominate over there and not being given the chance to play back here.
Yeah, he went over there as a dominant player, continue to get more dominance. Hopefully he brings that back.
Yeah, it's a big bonus for the game having him back out on the field there. But I know it'd be an interesting one because the standard of footy is not as high over there and the level of fitness is not as high over there. I guess it'd be a bit of a change for him coming back. He has been away for a little bit of time now, but look, there's no doubt that the Cowboys underperformed this year and they've got so much talent in their team. Just depends on how they use him and how they're going to bring him into the back line to see, will determine how effective he is out on the field.
So how are your big story at the start of the week? Nathan Cleary re-signs a long-term deal with the Panthers. Is that the right call to lock him down for as long as they have? Because a lot of people saying this year that he wasn't as good as what they thought, but I know everyone keeps forgetting, what, he's only 20?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, what, everyone's
well, doing. I mean, yeah, 20 years old, you've won an Origin Series. The expectation coming back from your first serious knee injury to play 1-2 weeks and you're in an Origin campaign, unbelievable. An unbelievable season. They needed to lock him down. They've done that now. Still a few twists in that saga to go, I would say. But, for me, they needed to lock him down. The next question for Penrith is the long-term 5-8 position, because James Maloney, towards the back end, was injured. Hopefully he gets his body right, because he's a crucial piece. But if they can't get him, do they stick with Tyrone May, or do they try and look on the market to get another 5-8 in? Because James off contract next year?
I think he's got 2 more years.
Two. So yeah.
I spoke to him last night at the Dally M's. His arm was all right because he was throwing back the red wines. But he'd seen the surgeon and he said it was actually a lot worse.
I was going to say the
it
neck.
Was a lot, he said it was a lot worse than what they thought.
Yeah.
And I said, he goes, it's a long off season. I'll be right. Come back and rip in the 20, you know, just typical Jimmy. Like, I'll dominate.
Do you think they try and get someone like him, more senior than Nathan, to try and help him over the next couple of years, or do they find someone who's similar age who they can build the club around 6 and 7?
Well, they've got Tyrone May.
Yeah.
But for me, he's a 13. So, I don't know. Hopefully for me, Jimmy Maloney's right. I don't think they win a premiership in the next 2 years if James Maloney's not there.
Yeah. And Jerome Luai, and beyond that, they've got to hang on to him, yes? Always.
Jerome's an interesting one because he can play fullback as well. Like, Nathan's an out-and-out 7, but Luai's a bit off the cuff. Sort of player, so I don't know if they'd go with two, because Nathan's still maturing into that leadership game management role, and I think sometimes by himself he struggles with that. Yeah. At times when you're the only kicker, it puts a lot of pressure on you if you're not getting in the right position, so still a lot to learn for Nathan's game going forward to be even better than what he is.
Gus being Gus as well, he'll be on the lookout. He's always looking.
Yeah.
Yep.
Can't argue
that. From Gus to Wayne Bennett, Craig Wing, his last year with the Broncos will be next year, so the club's announced that will be it for him in Brisbane. Do you see him coaching on beyond that, and what club needs Wayne there in 2020?
Absolutely. Well, if he says he wants to coach, then there's no two ways about it. He'll be doing it somewhere. Yeah. And the sheer level of experience and knowledge that he can bring will be valuable to any coach. To any organisation in the competition. Some might say he's a bit too old or he's a bit past it, but age is just a number for him, for my mind. The headspace that he got the Broncos in right at the right time of year, the back end of the year going to the finals, I think they were in great form. It's just that the Dragons came up and surprised them. I think no one would have expected that to come. So which team does he go to? Who knows? I would think that he could take his pick, really. I mean, all the stuff that's been going up in Brisbane early on in the year, that was that's just noise, I think. What he actually has, his experience and what he's actually done is second to none, really.
7 from 8 premierships.
Yeah.
Where does he go, though? Does it pen purely on... Because clubs right now...
I think he should go to Penrith.
No, okay.
I just think there's a chance there for the next 2 years.
Hang on, so there are a lot of twists in the tail out of Penrith.
Is that until someone else comes along? for Penrith?
I said there's a few more twists. I go off what I read. I mean, you know me.
So at this rate, Ivan Cleary, Wayne Bennett and Cam Serrato are all coaching Penrith next year.
Wayne might be running the water at Penrith.
That'd be a great sight. Well, he does beat everyone, or mate, used to, in the drills. All right, they're the big stories of the week. Cam, where are you at with...
we've got to explain to the listeners why we've got King.
Well, okay, yes.
So where this started.
Well, was it round one? Our first podcast?
We're still raw and wet behind the ears, and we copped a fair bit of criticism from Cam King about getting him on the podcast. I said he had to play 10 games straight.
Yes.
And got injured that week.
You were the curse.
So I was the curse. But I've known King for a long time, and kind enough to give up his time to come on the podcast, and valuable experience he's had in the NRL along with Wingy. But I just thought it was interesting after the season that Parramatta have had to get Kingy on the podcast. Yep. And he's been kind enough to come on.
Yeah, well, you were in here a couple of weeks ago for the Community Awards show, and you said at that stage you don't have an update on your future. Do you have an update as to where you might be next year?
Not much of an update. I've had a little bit of interest. My manager's doing a bit of work, and you know, a lot of stuff happens now after the season, so I'm not too worried about it yet. But you know, obviously I'd like to get something locked in sort of sooner rather than later, but it's a bit of a waiting game at the moment.
Was it the year that probably you didn't need to have contract year, that Parramatta finished last, you're in and out, was the year more helpful for you to look part life past footy? You're doing welfare training now, a welfare course. So have you started throwing preparations into, you know, if things don't work out this year, that maybe you go back and play a different grade and then next year try and stay fit and get in the NRL, but you've got that welfare course?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's obviously no one saw that coming, what happened this year, and, you know, it's hard to sort of negotiate when you're not winning. So for me, you know, I found footy quite draining this year. Obviously, when you're losing, you start overthinking, and I just needed to do something to get away from it. So I started this wellbeing and education course, which has opened my mind to a lot of things, and I think it's something that I can get a lot more passion for, helping guys out, and you know, everything that we've learned about, I've been through as a player. So I find that my knowledge of the game and, you know, long-term injuries and form in and out of the team is something that can be valuable for a club moving forward.
Good stuff. What are you doing for training at the moment? Are you taking some time off, or are you looking to get back into training, and how you manage that?
We've been finished for about a month now, so obviously had a week off just to freshen up, and you know, I'm just got to keep it ticking at the moment. So hoping that if someone calls, I'll be ready to go.
For someone that's listening, Kingy, just quickly and without notice, run us through your history with injuries and why you would be a good fit at an NRL club, not just as a player, because we've all seen you on the field, but certainly behind the scenes with younger guys coming through. We see players all the time do serious knee injuries and probably haven't got older guys in there that have enough time to be able to take out. Run us through your injury history and what you think you would bring to a club if someone, a club person's listening, that you'd be able to help them out.
Yeah, so I had my first shoulder reconstruction 2010, so I was 18. Missed that whole year, ended up debuting round 26, so that was sort of a bittersweet moment, getting that taste at the end. And then obviously the Dragons went on to win the comp that year, so to be part of that playing group was, you know, to start my career that way was disappointing, but to finish on a high like that was awesome. 2011, I tore my pec over in England. 2012, I broke my thumb the first game of the year, then did my medial when I came back, so I was sort of in and out. 2013 was the first year that I started in first grade, so I was on the bench. So I started round one in first grade, did my medial round four, came back, did my shoulder, so I was out the rest of the year. Then moved to the Cowboys 2014. I found that was a great fresh start for me. Unfortunately, my second game for the Cowboys, did my ACL, so sort of a couple steps forward, couple steps back, and just really struggled to kick start. I think the most games I played in a row was maybe six, and that was until moving to Parramatta 2017. Sort of got my crack in the first grade team, and ended up playing 11 games straight and making the finals last year, which was, you know, for having so many stepping stones in my career to do that was something that I wasn't sure whether I'd ever get back to that level. So to do that was awesome. And yeah, obviously this year was not how we saw the script going. Obviously form and injuries in and out of the team. So I still feel like I've got plenty to give, both on and off the field. The community work that I've been doing in the last couple of years is something that I'm really passionate about. It's such an easy way to give back as well. And you know, moving forward, you know, having so many injuries, I've picked up so many skills over the years and dealing with that. And I feel like as a player, I've still got plenty to give, but also off the field, I can help a club out as well.
Just on that, how did you maintain your focus and your resilience going through all of that, having so many disruptions all the way through? It must have got you down. Do you have people helping you, or is it just all you?
Yeah, it's I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel like quitting at different times. But for me, you know, I've said it over the years. My best mate's Kyle Stanley, and you know, I was there from his first knee reconstruction to his fifth, and you know, I was always there supporting as a mate. And then when I went through my first knee reconstruction, sort of got an insight of what it takes and what he's been through. So any time, you know, I was feeling down or feeling like it wasn't for me anymore, I'd just pick up the phone and give him a call and have a chat. And you know, for him to go through that was all the motivation I need. And to see him sort of move on now and see life after football, it's a big inspiration.
I think that's a fantastic story. And I've known Cameron since he was a little fella, like since he was eight. And to watch him battle his way into first grade at the end of 2010, 2011 World Club champion, you know, gets a start. That's how much confidence Wayne Bennett had in him. Scores a try, tears his pec, scoring the try. It's an amazing story, but the maturity that I've seen the last couple of years and what he's been able to do away from the game and prepare himself and give back to the community, it's been a real honour to not only call him as a mate, but for what he's done for the game. We don't publicise this enough, and Josh Dugan spoke about it, and probably the wrong week to have that other stuff go down. But I think players like this are doing so much, and he'd be a valuable asset to your team, not only as a hooker, but someone that can bring those young guys through. Wingy spoke about keeping focus. You have someone there that can lean on, and you look to all the NBA squads. They fill their last two roster spots with vets. They know they're not going to play. You know, they're there just in case, but they like having those veterans that have been around and know what to do in situations, injuries, stuff like that. So I think he'd be a fantastic pickup for a club, not only just as a player, but as a clubman.
Yeah, well said. I don't think I can add anything else, but it'd be a waste if you're not picked up by a club.
Yeah.
Whether it's, you know, playing ability, what you do off-field, because, as Sally said, I don't think players like yourself get the recognition for all the community work and everything you've been through.
No.
So, yeah.
Let's pep this up.
All right, let's go. Final. Speaking of injuries, Craig Wing, have you got an update on Cooper Cronk's shoulder for us? What are your sources in the East, the Bondi region, telling you?
They're very, very tight-lipped.
Well, I was expecting more.
No, everything suggests that he's out, but as Sowie was saying earlier, it's a grand final. You stick as many needles in it as you possibly can to get out on the field and do the job, and then you worry about the rest later.
You've got history with that. Can you...
Yeah, I have. Leading into the 2002 grand final, I actually had a broken hand. And I would probably get six or seven needles just before the game. For the last three games, I had to get six or seven needles just to be able to go out onto the field. Before the game, I couldn't even do the drawstring up on my shorts, so that was a bit of a nightmare. But once you get the needles in there, it's all good.
Geez, Wingy's old. He had drawstrings on his shorts.
What do they have now?
Oh, yeah. Just the little short ones now. Oh, okay. But he would have had the old ones. He would have had the old ones with five bows.
Just the skin. So, players at this time of year, Sally, they don't miss grand finals.
No, mate.
No. There's no chance he doesn't.
I'm in the minority, I said to these boys, it's a grand final. I would be shocked if Cooper Cronk in jumper number 23, like Michael Jordan, doesn't come out on Sunday and play. I just don't see it. I can't. And I've never been in that injured state. I mean, I had an AC joint and got needled for the series in 2010, but that was, like, I never even thought about if it was any worse because I was just going to play.
Yeah. But
he was brought. Okay, here's my reason.
Down by his side.
Yeah, that's fine. That's in the game, mate. All right.
When adrenaline's there.
His test, where he was going out like that, moving up like that. Okay, look back through all the vision, and this was my argument when talking to some of my mates. There's two bits of vision. There's that vision there of him testing it out, and Cooper Cronk doesn't throw 25-metre cutout passes. He's not drifting across field, picking up Blake Ferguson, throwing over the top, big sweeping cutout passes to the right. He does 2-metre passes out the back to Tedesco or a 3-metre pass to Keary. That's all he has to do. And he's got a week. He's got a week rest. He's got a physio every day. Hyperbaric chambers, salts, creams, needles, whatever you want.
Needles at the end of the week. I played with Luke Phillips.
Yeah, similar injury.
He tore the tendon off the bone and had some bone floating around. He got the needles, and he was one of our best players on the day.
Wasn't it like 16 needles or something?
It was something.
He made your hand look like a broken nail.
He was unlucky not to get the Clive Churchill.
Exactly, and you remember the way he used to play. He used to bring the ball back from fullback. He didn't have a sidestep or anything. He would just run 100 miles an hour at the first person chasing down.
Yeah.
I reckon Coops can do it too. I've got my fingers crossed.
Kingy, you've had more injuries than all of us put together.
Yeah. No, mate, he plays. Okay. I think he'll sacrifice sleep and whatever he has to do this week just to be up at all nights of the hour, icing, doing whatever he has to do. He plays.
Is it a free shot at history? He mentioned retirement, right? If he goes out and wins on Sunday with that injury, walks away from the game, is a kicking coach next year on $1 million at the Roosters. I'm just saying.
Paint a pretty picture.
I'm just saying. What's to say that he doesn't just go, look, this is it.
Yeah.
I may not get back next year. Because if you sit back and say, well, you know, maybe next year, I've still got one more year left. Penrith, North Queensland, these teams that were not good enough to get there this year, recharge and they go again next year. It's not as easy as you think to get back. When you win one, you think, oh yeah, cool, and Wingy's been to 3 in a row. And they only won one. Winning grand finals is different to making a grand final.
And also if he does play and it's injured, like, that's a long rehab as well, you know, to come back.
But it's
look at the ring.
So you reckon he'll look down and go, no, that's it?
It's a grand final.
No, I'm saying it's a long way back, but it's a grand final.
It's a grand final.
What I'm saying is post that. He won't.
Mate,
you don't think about post that.
If you're thinking it's post that.
Well, you've just thrown up that he might retire.
I'm just saying, it paints a pretty picture.
It does.
Yeah.
Mate, I'm fat and retired. And I still look at me ring. I don't care about the rehab.
But where do you have it? Up on a shelf somewhere?
Oh, I can't tell you, okay, mate.
Well, I'll never get one, so I just wanted to know what it's like to live in.
Bring it in next year.
Okay, that'll be great. The other shoulder everyone was talking about earlier this week, Billy Slater. Let's go past that because obviously it's been debated the whole time. But Cam, how much of a boost is that for Melbourne? Does that put Melbourne as favourites, him playing?
Well, I think so. I think if he's gone, Roosters are heavy favourites. With him there and what he does to everyone around him, I think just him being there gives him a boost, and I think he'll probably be close to best on ground his last game.
Clive Churchill medalist again?
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever our opinions were before the judiciary hearing, I think we'll have to get past that, as you mentioned. But he's a bigger loss than what Cooper Cronk is to the Roosters. Defensively, he puts people in position, but attacking-wise, the way they've attacked Melbourne this year with him and Smith in the middle playing like a halfback and sharing that role and allowing Munster and Croft on an edge to be able to organise their edges, it takes away the game planning. So they have to organise three players. The rest is just controlled by Slater and Smith. So huge in for the Melbourne Storm. I like the Roosters. I just think I picked them. I just think Tedesco has one of those games where we sit back and go,
like Origin 1.
Like better.
Well,
better than Origin 1. And he's going to have to be because if they had a win, he outpoints Billy Slater. And if Tedesco outpoints Billy Slater, he goes a long way to doing it and getting the Clive Churchill.
Yeah. My only worry, and I don't want to go back to Cronk, my only worry, if he's there with a busted arm, Melbourne exploit injured players better than anyone else. And I don't, like, is it...
Well, what's your worry?
Well, they're just going to jam him.
Well, if he's out there, mate, he's out there.
Yeah. But is it too much of a liability?
Yeah, so what hurts him more, Sal, if he plays and then goes off after 10 minutes... Or if he doesn't play,
I think if he plays, if he doesn't play, it hurts him more. If he goes out there, you're putting your laces, you're doing your drawstring up on your shorts.
Well, someone will be doing it for
him. And you look across, and there's just players in the room that you know when they play, that just gives the whole team a boost. To know that Cooper Cronk's done whatever he could to get out on the field, and you look across, and you're Luke Keary, and you go, wow, like,
we're going to be okay today. Mm.
And he's an organiser too. He'll be out there organising. He does probably more work with his voice than he does physically.
Yeah, we saw that last week because he couldn't do a lot, but the way he was barking instructions...
Just get them in positions. They've got enough players there to get the job done, to have a really good impact on the game. He just needs to get them around the field.
Yeah.
There's talk of if he doesn't play, who replaces him.
Yeah, so Mitch Orbison named at seven.
No, that won't happen. It'll be Ryan Madison. And if it's not Ryan Madison, I think it should be Sean O'Sullivan. But there was whispers that Paul Momorowski may play six in the grand final. Third game ever.
Okay.
Ball runner, not, talented defender.
Ryan Madison seems a logical option, right? Because his versatility, he's a bigger body, and he's been there and done it in terms of plays everywhere, right? But Robbo made a massive call last week, putting Momorowski in the centres in his second game, and he rose to the occasion. Whether it's him or Sean O'Sullivan, that is a huge call for Robbo to make.
Yeah, it's a good story either way.
Yeah.
But I'm with Seo. I think they put Madison there. I think he's done the job before, and that allows Keary to be dominant, which he can do. We saw that last week when he was when Cronk was injured. So I think if they go that way, Keary will step up.
But it kind of that's.
I mean, the only thing that they run into trouble with is that if Melbourne know that he's the only kicker, Keary, they will just come for him. So, you know, I think if they go Madison, I would go O'Sullivan on the bench, and you let the sting go out of the game the first 15 minutes, and you go, righto, kid, go and make yourself a hero. Okay. And just let him out there. Left foot kicking game, classy player. Wayne Bennett's identified him as a halfback of the future for the Broncos.
Yeah.
He's going there next year. I think you do that, because what happens if you limit to Luke Keary to being the only kicker, Jake Friend's kicking game's not elite enough to be able to take the pressure off.
Yeah,
he does have a kicking game, but he's got that rush of blood that kicks one out in the full as well. So you say Sean O'Sullivan, here you go. And then he comes off and does a Thurston, gives his ring to Cronk. And then
Cronk was playing.
Then he goes up. This is the Sean O'Sullivan story. Then he goes up and wins the comp with the Broncos. And we're talking about Sean O'Sullivan, how great he is.
So Cronk's going to retire with a ring, or Sean O'Sullivan. They're great.
This is the beauty of the podcast, Zach. We can just lay out our stories everywhere. And one of them will hit, then we'll cut that piece up.
Yeah, that's right.
Put it on our socials.
Here's the story, the matchup I can't wait for. It's Latrell Mitchell against Will Chambers. I was down in Melbourne earlier this week, and I said to Will, everyone's talking about him being the antagonist and loves getting under people's skin. And I said, are you going to throw some verbal barbs Latrell's way? And he goes, I'm not talking about that. And just death stared me. I said, okay, so I think he might be saving his saving his words for Latrell. But
well, he started the year the best centre in the world, Will Chambers, defensively and attacking-wise. I haven't seen anyone go down and have that finer touch with rolling the ball in goal. He's been overtaken by Latrell Mitchell, powerhouse. Does whatever he likes and did it to him in Origin. So Chambers will have to be good defensively and make sure that if they come up and in that they do stop that play, because Tedesco's shown he can pass. And I reckon, I mean, if I'm the first trip down, I just kick him behind Vunivalu. I want him to hold back a little bit, because Chambers and Vunivalu coming up and in, if they cut you down the first time, they're on top of you for the rest of the game.
Cam, who would you rather take on, Will or Latrell? And who wins the battle?
They're both world class, and they had a great battle in the Origin this year, so they would have learned a bit about each other. So let's sort of see who gets the wood this week.
No, sitting on the fence here.
I like Latrell.
Okay,
like
don't say how it wasn't hard. Yeah. Wingy.
Yeah, look.
He's contracted by Roosters still. He has to say Latrell Mitchell.
No. Chambers, he's a really experienced player, and like you were saying, he's one of the best defensive players in the competition. But Latrell did show him up in Origin.
Yeah.
Latrell does have the wood on him. Latrell's got a week off. He's going to be fired up, fire in the belly. He's going to be fresh. I'm leaning towards the youngster.
And what about the battle on the edge? We saw Felice Kufusi get under Sam Burgess' ribcage a few weeks ago, but up against Boyd Cordner.
Yeah, look, Boyd will just he'll be there for the full 80, and I think Felice will know that. But Felice lifted against that Rabbitohs pack. A little bit quiet last week against the Sharks, but... yeah, I think they'll both handle each other pretty well. Yeah, there's matchups all across the... If the Roosters pack can break even again with the Melbourne Storm pack, they did it last week, this second unit of Napa, Madison and Victor Radley coming on. They extended the advantage last week. So Roosters were just like even, and then they came on and just because Radley's got a pass, Madison's got a pass, and you see him drifting across the middle of the field, and he's picking up a back row. They're getting a quick play of the ball. So, but that's enough. I'm just ready for the game to start. I'm taking the Roosters, Zach.
You're taking the Roosters.
Roosters, James Tedesco, Clive Churchill.
And scoreline, because a lot of people are
2016.
Saying... 2016. Oh, so high score?
Yeah. No, sorry, not 2016. 16-12.
16-12. Okay, Roosters. That's a lot of people are saying it's going to be 9-8 or something.
Well, it was 9-8 at Adelaide Oval this year. It'll be one of the lowest scoring ones we've seen.
Okay. Mm. Cam?
Well, I think 13-12 Melbourne.
And you're onto this. You've thought about this.
Yeah, Billy.
Billy?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got it already, hasn't he? It's a fairy tale story.
I'm calling Billy 17-16 Cooper Cronk kicks a field goal.
Oh, now that would be a story.
One-handed. Just can't move the shoulder, just when one hand drops it. Wing, are you sitting in the coach's box on the weekend?
Yeah,
I'll be there somewhere.
So he'll definitely be there. Before I do let you guys go, though, the women's grand final as well is on that afternoon.
Ali Brigginshaw and the Broncos.
Yeah.
They're outstanding season, more professional than anyone else.
Yep.
I've got
Brittany Brayley, the women's player of the year.
Broncos, and then the ISP as well.
Yeah, of course.
Bulldogs versus Redcliffe. So.
And who wins that?
Bulldogs were impressive last week against Newtown, but it's Redcliffe side. Yeah, there's some hidden talent. Look out for Opportunity and Stags.
Yeah, Stags. So. Yeah. Cam, on both of those, the women's and the ISP.
I'm going to go against Sowie again. I like the Roosters and the women's.
Why? They took a long while to warm up.
Yeah, they have, and I think they've got enough class players to be able to turn it on for one big game. Yeah. I think the big occasion that their bigger players will step up and be dominant.
Yep.
And in the ISP. The Bulldogs were good, but I'm going to go with Redcliffe as well. I think they've got some great players who are on that cusp of first grade, had a taste of first grade, so I think they'll be able to get the win.
Wingy, I need all three from you. The Roosters, and Redcliffe.
Yeah, I'm going to go the Roosters. Late form, full of confidence, had a good win last week, similar to the Dragons did in the men's. So I'll go the Roosters there, and I'll go the Bulldogs.
The Bulldogs?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it.
Thanks for the year, mate.
That's the NRL podcast of the year.
Been a pleasure.
It's been great. Cam, good luck with everything. Thanks, enjoy a couple of weeks off on the cruise.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
Around wherever you're going, through
just
the islands. And Wingy, I guess go the Chooks.
Go the Chookies, eh?
Hey? All right, thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure you stay across, NRL.com. For all the updates leading into the grand final, whether Cooper Cronk is going to play or not. Hopefully we have some clarification around that in the lead-up. But it should be a cracker either way. Enjoy the grand final, and we'll be back next year.